You're listening to the Tilehurst End Podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Hello everyone, Ollie Allen here. Hope you're doing well, staying safe, staying at home, helping save lives at this difficult time. I'm here today to bring the latest in our set of interviews with former Reading FC personnel. And today it's Andries Olderink, the assistant coach to Jaap Stam during the Dutchman's time as manager of Reading Football Club between June 2016 and March 2018. I spoke to Andries about a range of topics, from how he first came to work with Jaap to how the opportunity at Reading first came about, and why it went so well in that first year, and then unfortunately why it went so badly wrong the following year. The playing style, how he enjoyed living in England as well, and his relationship with all the coaches at Reading also on the agenda. So without further ado, this is the Tilehurst End meets Andries Olderink.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Rs!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Andries, welcome to the Tilehurst End podcast. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good. Thank you very much. And I hope everybody in England is good as well.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's very strange times we're living in at the moment. I think we'll try and steer clear from talking about coronavirus and try and stick solely to football. And obviously, Reading fans will know you as Jaap Stam's assistant during his time at the football club. How did your association with Jaap begin?
Yes, look we started working together at Ajax Amsterdam, where at that moment Jaap was working for the first team, and I was working in scouting, and then they asked us to work with the young Ajax team. And Jaap was then at the moment doing his for his badges. So together we did 2 years young Ajax, and from there on we went to Reading.
So obviously you'd been in coaching for a long time when you first linked up with Jaap.
I started quite early.
Yeah, what were your first impressions of him as a coach then? Because obviously he had a fantastic playing career, but that doesn't always translate to being a great manager.
I think one of the important things between our working relationship is that we think quite the same about dominating a game, possession, all those kind of things. Jaap is a type of manager who lives by game by game, who really likes working Saturday a game, Tuesday a game, Saturday a game. I like more. I've got some qualities in planning a little bit the season a little bit further ahead, individual programs, the conditioning a bit, working with the performance coaches, with the physio. So I try to help him out with that a lot, so he could focus on the tactics. I think one of his biggest skills is developing players and developing the team, especially in tactics, in details. I think he's very good in that.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that you and Jaap had been at Ajax, I think it was for about 2 or 3 years before the opportunity at Reading came about. When did you first learn that moving to England was a possibility?
I think it was somewhere in May. Somewhere in May.
Okay.
In May from the year that we went, that the first contacts. I remember there were a couple of other options for Jaap, and then he phoned me. He said, "Hey, listen, in talks now with Reading, and it looks good. Are you interested to join me over there?" So I think it was somewhere in May from that year.
What did you know of Reading sort of and the Championship sort of before you took the job? Did you have to do much research into the club?
Yes. I was at the time. I had a period that I was working in the scouting from Ajax. So I saw a couple of games from Reading already before, and I was a couple of times in England to do some work for Ajax, and I watched quite some games already in the Championship before I came over to England.
What did you make of sort of the players the club had already then, and sort of the level of the league that was at that time?
Yeah, so look for me, still the championship is, let's say, if somebody would phone me and say, would you like to work again in the championship? I don't have to think about that, because that league is so competitive.
Yeah.
A lot of games. And look, football in England is, when you look at the facilities, when you look to the fans, the atmosphere, the respect there is for people around the game, it's from a different level than in a lot of other countries. So yes, I liked it a lot. And also I'm looking for the right English words, the mentality of the players, the personality of the players, what was very good, especially at Reading. Of course, we had to work very hard, but the mentality of the players and the people around in the club was fantastic.
What was your plan coming into the club then? Did you and Yap have sort of many discussions with, I think it was Brian Tedward, and obviously was there at the time, and the owners as well?
Yeah, no. When we stepped in, it was quite difficult. It was quite difficult to say where we were at the moment, because I think I hope I say it right. I think when we arrived the season before that, they were 18th or 19th in the table.
Yeah, correct.
But in the championship, things are very close together. Sometimes with one run, a good run of games in the championship, you can go very quickly from the bottom of the table to maybe in the top of the table. So the expectations for the short term were a little bit unknown. But there was a little bit a longer plan for basically a couple of years.
Yeah.
So it was more that we hoped in a couple of years to come, let's say, in the top of the top six of the championship. That was the plan.
On the pitch, obviously, you had a very clear style of play, that possession-based football that's obviously very famous over in Holland, but slightly rare in England. I think, especially in the Championship, it's not often that teams play that sort of football. Was that easy to get across to the players when you first came in?
It's an interesting one. You see, now football in England has developed with managers like Guardiola, like Klopp. I remember that in that time at Fulham, played also a very good possession-based football. And in that time when we arrived, you saw, let's say, and I say that with all the respect, a little bit of old-fashioned English football, with kick and rush, and you saw a development also with English coaches, or a little bit more, let's say, a tactical bits of the game. So it developed at that time very nicely. And I remember we had a very interesting game. It was a game away against Cardiff, because in the beginning we played quite well, but the results were in the beginning of the league were staying a little bit behind. And then I remember we scored two goals in the end of the game, and in Cardiff we dominated the game, created chances, we played a very good game, but we were 1-0 down, and it was the a game just before the international break. So we won the game. I think it was a fifth or sixth game from the league. So we won the game, and I think we came from spot 19. We came to spot 14 by just winning the game. But it was also the first goal from Jan Kermelkamp in that season.
Yeah.
So before that, he missed a couple of chances. So we won. We had 3 points, and Jan scored his first goal. And I think he ended up that season with 19 goals. And I've noticed from that moment on, you saw something happening in the team. They start believing in the style of playing, the style of coaching, how we worked. And I remember that moment in the season was very important.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to mention, because obviously we did take a little bit of time to get going that season, but as you say, we quickly found our stride. I mean, what for you was the reason that the team was doing so well?
Yes, well, what I said, that moment was very important, and there was a moment we had an away game against Fulham. We lost 5-0 or 5-1. I think we scored a goal in the end of the game. It was an away game. I think it was somewhere in December or January. somewhere around that. So we lost with five one and then it's always the question how a team responds to a setback like that, and also I remember that around that stage we had a couple of other a team started to having an answer to our style of playing. So that, from that moment on, I remember that we sometimes started playing with three in the back and some other accents also in our style of playing. And the team reacted quite well on that as well. So we handled that setback. And I remember that a couple of weeks later, we played again against Fulham at home and we beat them 1-0. And those were, in my opinion, a couple of very important moments in the season. What made the team strong? What it was?
Were you surprised at all that the team did get so high up on the table? I mean, I know you mentioned sort of that there was a long term plan in place, but I don't think many fans sort of really knew what to expect when Yap came in.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really thought we would do quite so well as we did.
Yes, it looks sometimes. There are also things, I don't say it's out of your hand as a manager, but Liam Moore came in August. I think it was already, I don't know if the season already started.
I think it had, yeah.
So we were a little bit short in that position. So look, he did very well, was never injured, and he was a very stable factor in the team. Ali Alhabsi grew to a very spectacular season. I remember at least four or five games in stoppage time, 2-1 up or 2-2, he made a big save. And instead of 1 point, you've got 3 points. Or instead of losing the game in a away game, you have. So those are things. John Swift came in. He scored a couple of goals. Look, we had a little bit bad luck. And towards the end of the season that he got a little bit with some hamstring issues. So sometimes some things are happening in the team, also off the pitch, who are very important. And look, with Paul McShane, Danny Williams, we had a couple of people also off the pitch who took care of the team. And I think that was massively important as well.
You mentioned the likes of Liam Moore and John Swift there. Obviously, they were signed that summer. Was the recruitment, you know, sort of done with that playing style in mind? Obviously, Moore and Swift are players who sort of like to get on the ball, like to pass the ball. Was that recruitment done with that playing style in mind?
Yes. That was very important for us. I know we have a system where we can watch players in qualities. And with John Twitt, it was obvious that we were looking for somebody in midfield who could play that final pass to the strikers to create chances and also could score some goals by himself. He was still young. He was still young, but look, if you talk about qualities from Yap, it was working with players like Liam, like Swift, these players who have certain qualities and a certain mentality, I think Yap did a great job in developing those kind of players.
In terms of the recruitment, who sort of led that? Was that Yap or was it Brian Tevreden? What was the sort of the relationship like between Brian and sort of the coaching top staff?
Yes, look, I must say it was also scouting who came with the names, and then it was us as a technical staff together with Brian who were watching these players in that system. So it's not very and of course the Yap always had the last word about Liam and about John Swift. Of course, he had individual talks with them before they came into the club about the plans, how he wanted to play, and Yap was very important in that.
In terms of the coaching staff, then obviously you had Yap, yourself, Sy Bacatti, Stephen Reid, and I think Dave Besant as goalkeeping coach. What was the dynamic sort of like between that group? Were more people sort of more hands-on than others? Sort of who took the lead in sort of training sessions?
Yes. So it also in that, if I tell you that we still got a WhatsApp group with the staff, with Michael Duxie, Officio, John. So it was very much cohesion in the staff as well. In training sessions, also off the pitch, in the away travels, and it was all luckily a very good vibe, and I think also in that was a massive important in recognizing the quality of people in the staff. You could say that Jaap did a lot of the tactical sessions preparing for the games. And myself and Michael Jukesy, David Besson, Ed Franklin, and John, we were all always talking about the other training sessions, the rehab from players, the fitness of players, individual programs. Ed Franklin was very important with that. Players who were not traveling with the squad, but you know how it works in a long season as in the championship, you always need 22 players third season. So sometimes, players have to be a little bit patient, but they have to train hard so they stay fit. So Ed Franklin was very important with that. So yes, we had not long ago I had to talk with a Jaap about that. That staff was it was very good and it was working very good together.
Yeah, I mean, you said you still got a WhatsApp group with them. Do you still speak with them regularly?
Yes. We still have got contact by WhatsApp. Not every day or every week. Sometimes it's quiet for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
There's always somebody with a nice joke or a comment or a video or something what's happening at the moment in both countries with that virus and also on a personal note, we still got a very very good and nice contact with each other.
Amazing. And obviously we of course ended up finishing third in the table that season, which was a fantastic finish. I mean, I think a lot of people seemed to write the team off though in the playoffs, which I thought was quite unfair at the time. And did that bother you at all behind the scenes?
No. Now we I think at Wembley it was a very close game. It was not for both teams. I think it was not the best game.
Yeah.
You see that. Yeah, you see that more often. Then there is that final with going to the Premier League, the nerves, the tension in the game. But I think we deserved to play. We beat Fulham twice in the playoffs. We beat them in those two games. So I think we deserved to be there. And because for me, Fulham was football wise, the best team in the league. And I think if you beat Fulham twice, you deserve to be there in the playoffs and in Wembley.
How did you prepare for that final then? Because I think it's quite hard to sort of prepare for them anyway. So I think there was a 2 week gap between the semi final second leg and the final. So sort of all the focus is on this one game with sort of so much riding on it.
Yes. I must say I don't know it anymore in detail how we prepared, but probably how we prepared for every game, that we quite relaxed. We kept on training, preparing for the game technically wise, watching a couple of videos from the opponent, but also not too much, developing our style of playing. And it was an amazing experience, but of course, unfortunately, not with the result we had hoped for.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, it wasn't the best final sort of entertainment wise. It was, I think both teams were quite nervous. I mean, what were your emotions sort of throughout the game and afterwards? Did it feel like a bit like a missed opportunity, perhaps?
Yes, of course, it felt like a missed opportunity. And look, also in that, you could see that Jaap was quite experienced with that situation. He was very, of course, during the game, he's always very close to the sideline, but Yes, he was calm. He was he was there for the team, and you know, in those kind of games, it's that, one or two moments who can make a difference by winning or shooting that penalty in or making a save from a goalkeeper. Sometimes it's very close to each other. And look, I look, it was for me, it was a very great experience with the team at Wembley. And that whole season working for Reading, for me, it was an unbelievable experience. And look, again, unfortunately, not with the results we had hoped for.
Indeed. I mean, that summer, Ron Gourlay came in as CEO. How did he sort of change things behind the scenes, and what was your and Yap's relationship like with him?
Look! The owners changed as well, eh?
Yeah.
The Chinese owners came in, and look, I think what when you look to the second season, I think there were a couple of crucial things from my perspective. When I talk for myself, we lost Jan Kamerkamp with a quite heavy injury, so we missed 19 goals, and I think finding the right replacement for Jan was a difficult one. Danny Williams left. That for me was Danny is maybe not technically the most refined player, but he was always there for the team. He was also there, always there for the team with his mentality. He knows what a game asks. And for me, the one of the biggest things as well was that Ali Alhabsi, we didn't know that, to be fair, that he had a clause in his contract. So he left and. So in every line, we missed a very important player. And to be fair, where the club could have done better look, there was not a lot of money spent in the organization in scouting. It was quite a small organization. So our scouting, there were good people in there, very good people in the scouting. But at the end, I think we didn't manage to bring in the quality what was needed to do another good season. And it's not the mistake from Brian. It's not the mistake from Ron or the owners. That was at the time we had to make quite difficult decisions.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out how it should be.
But was that a money issue then? You mentioned that there's not an awful lot was spent on sort of recruitment.
For me, it's very difficult to say something because as an assistant manager, I'm not always there in the money talks. And of course, we could have spent a little bit more money, but it's not always money. And also, I don't. It's not the right moment now to say, okay, yeah, he did something wrong or he did something wrong.
Yeah.
So it was clear that where in the first season sometimes you had that let's say that Ali Alhabsi saved in stoppage time, and now sometimes you lost the game. So instead of winning, you start losing games, and also then with the the vibe we got in that first season, instead of that vibe going up, it was more a disappointment from, hey, listen, everybody had expectations after that first good season. Look, and then the second season it became a little bit less. And
yeah.
It's not also not in my. I don't like that to point, hey, this went wrong or that went wrong or he did this or he did that.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people a lot of the fans became, you know, perhaps a bit frustrated with the playing style. I think Yap said that a couple of teams had sort of begun to figure the style out. I think you mentioned it earlier as well. Was there ever any thought of moving away from that style at all? Or was it very much, you know, we're going to stick with this, you know, possession-based style of playing and hopefully it'll work out?
Look, when... look, your style of playing. When you say we always played in a certain way, we had variations, of course, a little bit this, a little bit that. where it's a difficult decision to say, okay, we throw that overboard and we're going completely different, huh? Because if you start losing then it's then you're far away from home then, eh? And then it's getting we've done 1.5 years a certain way of training, coaching, playing. Look, and then let's say in January you say, oh yeah, listen, we're gonna do it completely different. Yeah, that's a big step. Manchester City, you don't see them doing any different now. They stick to what they do, and all the good teams, they stick with what they do. Of course, in detail they can change a little bit, but it's not that Liverpool is going to do to play a totally different game after losing a couple of games. That's not how it works.
What was the morale sort of like in the dressing room at that time? Obviously, you know, as you mentioned, we lost sort of some quite big characters in Ali Al-Habsi and Danny Williams. What was the feeling like sort of in that dressing room at that time?
Yes, look, it became a little bit younger, less experience. And what I said, we had a couple of injuries with John Swift. I remember that he kept on having these problems with his hamstrings. He was an important player. And I remember that we had, going forward, McCleary had a quite serious injury. We missed Jan for at least 4 or 5 months that season. So it became quality-wise and experience-wise, it became a little bit less. And what I said in the championship, everything is very close together, very close together. So it's not that. A 2-1 win and a 2-1 loss is very close together in this league.
I mean, I think the final game ended up being away to Norwich, which we lost 3-2. You were the one who did all the post-match media duties that day, and it wasn't Yap. Was that just a coincidence, or was there a feeling after the game that might have been the end of the road?
I think it was a coincidence.
Yeah.
I think it was a coincidence. You remember that? I even I even don't remember that anymore. That it was me. It must be a coincidence. Must be a coincidence.
How did you find out then that it was the end of Yap's time at Reading?
Yeah. Look. You feel already, of course, in the last couple of weeks, of course, more and more talks about what can we do, and the owners were there. I remember they were hardly there, but there was a moment that they were there as well to give them their support. So it was quite okay, to be fair. The way it went, the goodbye.
Yeah.
It was with all the respect, and sometimes these kind of things happen in football. So, but you feel, of course, in the atmosphere. Jaap had a couple of disappointments as well, because he had hoped, of course, again in the winter that maybe some certain players he had hoped for, and that's the mechanism. Always, when it goes well, it goes a little bit easier, and when the results stay a little bit away, so you feel that, of course, in the last couple of weeks before it happened.
Was there a hope to get some more players in during that January transfer window? Then was that?
Yes, of course. But because you were a little bit already down at the table, not all the players were interested. And look, and of course, in the winter, players are a little bit more expensive than in the summer. So it was not always easy to make the right deals.
How do you look back on your time at Reading and in England in general then? Happy memories in general?
Yeah. Yes. So what I said in the beginning of the interview, it was a great time, and the football in the stadiums, the fans, the facilities, it was unbelievable, and the staff, there's so many games and so many good games on very good pitches. That's basically what every football admirer loves, and that's what you get in England. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable, and yeah. I hope somewhere in my career I can be part of it again.
Are there any moments that sort of stick out at all? I think a lot of fans would say the Fulham games in the playoff semi-final that year were obviously very, very, very memorable.
That's a good one. So at the moment, there's not that one particular moment. But look, when there is a moment or a player, I had a lot of respect for Jan Kermerkant. And it must be a couple of goals he scored, because he scored in that season so many unbelievable good goals from bicycle kicks or with a header or shots. And he was already 36, and he still gave everything with the right mentality, and he lived for the game. If say about one thing that there would be then Jan Kermerkant.
Yeah, I think Jan surprised everyone that season in how well I think that was his best goal scoring season of his entire career, and he was 36 years old. I mean, would you change much at all from your time at Reading, or was it very much a case of what happened for a reason?
There are always things what you would have done differently, but then it's more Adil Habsi is leaving, and Vito Manoa was a good goalkeeper. Don't get me wrong; it's nothing against Vito, but Adil Habsi was in the dressing room, was a very important player for the team. Danny Williams, Jan Kermerkant, when something happens, and you bring other players for that in. So if I would have done something different together with all. Other people inside the club, is I thought we could have anticipated better in getting a more balance in our squad. I think the balance the second year was a little bit less than in the first year.
I think you were, of course, back in work before Yap was. I think you were appointed, obviously, manager of South African side Ajax Cape Town in November 2018. Is that sort of where you see yourself in the future, more as a manager rather than an assistant?
Yes and no. I was in South Africa, but that had more to do in after we left Reading. There were two options again: working in England. So it surprised us. One of the jobs we thought it would become to a deal. So when that deal didn't go on, it became it was I think the end of June.
Okay.
Half June, end of June. So then the clubs with who suits a little bit with Jaap, they were not there anymore. So then it was, I think, October, November. Ajax phoned me that they had a job in South Africa with Ajax Cape Town, and sitting at home is not my best quality. So I went over there, but I like working with Jaap. So what he said in the interview, we suit each other. He's got certain qualities, and I can help him a lot in some other things. So he can. Keep on the focus on the games, the tactical bits, developing players, and working with him was a great experience. And if I can choose now at the moment, I'm now working for Ajax Amsterdam again in the scouting the rest of this season.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of games to watch now live, of course, but I watch now a lot at home on the laptop.
Yeah.
And the last games played in February and the beginning of March. But my contract ends. So if I can sign now somewhere together with Jaap, I will do it straight away. But I always have the option open also for myself. I've got still my ambitions. But I realize as well that, my own career as a football player was not the best, so I didn't play professional. Look, and that's still a big issue for a lot of clubs. So I realized that the level of coaching for me will probably be a little bit lower than what I can do maybe with the YAP.
What do you think sort of YAP's feelings? He's had two jobs in the Netherlands since the Reading job. Do you think he wants to come back to England at all, or do you think he sees his future perhaps in his homeland?
It's a little bit dangerous to say because I'm not YAP himself. But I know he's got the ambition again to work in England.
Yeah.
I know he loves England, the people, the country, and of course the football, the facilities, and I know he likes to work again in England.
Fantastic. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, Ollie, thank you very much, and have a good day, and take care of each other over there.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.